Welcome to the Body Grievers Club. Hi, my friends. I'm Bree.
And I'm Jana.
And we want to sit in the grief and the suck of your body image with you.
But we also want to show you that even in the suck, you can still live a great life in the body that you have right now.
And that no matter how big and how difficult your body grief feels,
you are not alone.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Body Grievers Club. If you've been listening along to the podcast, you may have heard me talk a little bit about this recent experience that I had. I had a procedure done, and I didn't want to see my weight. And they ended up putting the number on my paperwork. And I was surprised that my reaction to seeing my weight was completely neutral. Now, I want to stress that this is a number that used to be like a fear number. Like, I can gain weight, but I just can't gain this much. And what this tells me is that for me to have a neutral reaction, for me to respond with like, okay, like that's, thanks for this information, tells me that there is no longer a secondary narrative or critical story playing out in my brain around weight gain. So when I used to gain weight, the stories that I would tell myself is, you're letting yourself go. What are people going to think about you? Like, people are going to judge you. People are going to think you're unhealthy. And so when Jana and I were talking about diving into this, you know, episode together, you know, one of the things she said is like, I think we need to talk about how gaining weight and giving up diet culture does not mean that you're giving up on yourself. So Jana, tell us a little bit about why this was a topic you wanted to talk
about. I think that there's so much push towards taking care of yourself and what that means, you know, and what diet culture has designed that to mean. And we have a lot of folks in our lives when we start to give up diet culture and have some different thoughts that actually think we're giving up on ourselves.
You know, this idea that by somehow gaining weight, that we're somehow giving up. And how do you view gaining weight now? Do you still view it the same way?
No, I kind of have really shifted more into a spot of like, knowing that my body kind of does what it needs to, right? And that I think that really making that choice to step away from diet culture and all the ways that that affected me, like it was so stressful on me. Like I can't even begin to describe the stress. So when I did something different and I worked on body image, it was this empowered choice to say that like, I'm going to do something different. Like this isn't actually working for me. It isn't actually helping me. It isn't actually supporting me.
It's like this, you know, we talk about all the time, like that courageous action, right? Like we are doing something that is empowered because we're making it from a decision of, I'm making this decision for me, I'm not making this decision because someone told me that I should.
I love that because I think that that is the thing is, it's like, it's scary as heck.
Yeah.
Right? Bree, did you ever have that experience where you're like, wow, I can see that I'm taking a step to veer off what other people think I should be doing?
Yeah, and it's terrifying. And especially as someone who identifies as a people pleaser, it's like my brain goes to the worst case scenario. And I really believe that worst case scenario or catastrophizing, as we call it, is just our brain's way of trying to protect us from trauma. It's like, we have felt this and we don't want to feel it again. But what I find with grief around body image is we're learning to maneuver around what we've never experienced.
Ooh, I love that. Like, we don't realize there's another option.
Right, because we've never taken that option. We've never been like, actually, me, you know, weighing this particular number actually doesn't have a secondary meaning, even if society is continually telling me that this is a problem. Why? Where did this come from? And if it doesn't mean that, if it doesn't align with my values, then why am I holding on
so deeply to this idea. And so it's like, why are people resisting giving up diet culture? Why are people resisting gaining weight?
Because it means giving up control. And we talk about this with clients, with our body grievers all the time, is that there is a certain part of like, we have to give up the control and even the hope of the future that like, we're going to change things and make things, everything is just going to be amazing. That if we change our body size, the rest of our life is just going to fall into place. And when we give up that control, that is that scary part that we're talking about.
I think in this like season right now, so this is currently being recorded in January of 2024. So it's that new year, new you bullshit. Same message, different year, that like I'm seeing people post their before and after photos. I'm seeing people post their New Year's resolutions. I'm seeing people share their non-scale victories. And there's an activation even for me because it reminds me of what I have given. Like I am giving that part. And there's a loss there.
And those were like, weirdly enough, some very positive feelings, right? You could get some feelings of successfulness. And, and when you step out of this, you release that. And even though those feelings are only temporary, it takes a while to really kind of come out. I know we've talked about diet culture as cult mentality before, to come out of that programming to realize like, whoa, this was really the cost on me choosing to diet and trying to control my body and, you know, all the costs that come associated with that.
And I don't think we think about the cost when we're making these decisions. So like, when we're like, I'm going to diet, I'm going to lose weight, I am going to do this thing, we think about the immediate. We think, okay, I'm going to try and I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to get a little bit of payback in the beginning. And so then that convinces us that we're doing the right thing. But then when our body is fighting back and saying, this is not what we want, when our body is resisting weight loss, instead of being like, hey, this thing is no longer working, we blame ourselves and we're like, it's me. I'm doing this to myself. And so what you're actually doing is you're giving up the perceived control that you can't actually change your body long term without negative impact. And I also say this because I'm sure there are people who are like, I know people. How many people? Like 5% of people who pursue intentional weight loss maintain results. And those studies do not indicate or prove that there wasn't some disordered eating or eating disorder. So you're not even giving up the active intentional weight loss. You're giving up the perceived control around changing, manipulating.
When we look at control through power, think of how many times we started a plan and we're like, okay, by the end of January, I'm going to lose X amount of pounds, or by the summer, I'm going to fit into this size, or like we've set all these deadlines. But when we actually switch into body neutrality and more of a path of, you know, feeling good about who we are and how that looks and less on about our body, it kind of starts to be like, okay, now let's go live the rest of our lives.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot, living your best, unapologetic, big and beautiful life. But you don't get there without also letting go.
And that part of the letting go is absolutely terrifying. Yeah. That like, oh, I don't get to control these things that happen in my life like that. But that like, now I'm just going to go live the rest of my life. How expansive does that feel and how terrifying?
You're right, right. Like if this is what I've always done, now what? And on the opposite spectrum of grief is joy, that because we experience grief with our body, it actually means we can experience joy and pleasure and beauty in and within our body experience. And if you're listening to this and you're like, hold on, I reject, that's okay, right? The destination isn't experiencing or feeling those things. The destination, there is none, but the goal would be to not feel the hatred, to not feel, no pun intended, but the heaviness of the burden that we feel when we're like, I'm going to be missing out. I'm going to be losing. And one of the things, Jenna, that you said is that, yes, there is loss, but there is also so much to be gained. And if you're not ready to hear that message right now, I just want to normalize that. But I'd love for you to talk about like, what does that look like for you?
What does it look like for your clients when you are able to appreciate what you've been able to gain by letting go of the fear of weight gain, by letting go of diet culture?
It's really like this beautiful process of them claiming that they are allowed to do this, that they're allowed to not worry anymore about what the scale says, that they're allowed to not worry and just be able to be in their bodies doing the things that they want to do and are allowed to do and that they can do, and also accepting the things that are hard, like anybody's body would have, right? Yeah. But that it's that permission, because when we step out of that diet culture, I don't know about you, Bree, but everybody around me was like, oh my gosh, you shouldn't be doing this. No, don't give up on yourself.
But what about your health?
Yeah, what about your health? Don't give up on yourself. Yeah. And it was like, they couldn't see that I was like, actually, me now staying in diet culture was the giving up on myself. Whereas the now is actually investing in myself. Like, this is me stepping into my health. This is me stepping into my best life when the other one wasn't there for me.
Because you're able to connect to yourself truly. Like, the decision is being made autonomously because it feels good and aligned to you, rather than this is what I'm prescribed to do. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I think that ability to connect to yourself allows you to become a better advocate to yourself in the long run. But I also don't want people to think that by giving up diet culture, by giving up the idea that losing weight is going to be this walk in the park, that it's sunshine and roses. Deb Regard is one of like the creators of Health at Every Size, and she talks about diet land and donut land, that we spend so much time in diet land that we think intuitive eating is going to be like donut land, where the rocks are made of, you know, donuts and the streams are made of chocolate. And that's not reality. I know that we've both experienced grief even in this acceptance. And so I know for me, there are times, especially when my body isn't being accommodated to, despite asking for those accommodations, feeling hyper aware of my body, feeling like, wow, everybody is thinking about my body right now. I am the largest person here. What are they thinking? And that's not me several years ago. That's me 2024. That when I get into spaces that remind me of a previous time, I can get so activated, can feel so unsafe and unresourced. What's one way that grief can still manifest for you?
One of the things that for me right now is I'm really into being around horses, and I go to this one stable, but there's only one horse that's large enough for my body. And so it doesn't mean that when I see these other folks just hop on any of the horses, that I don't feel some grief that, like, wow, there's only really one option at this stable for me. Yeah. You know, for the health of the horses, and I understand that, but it doesn't mean that there's not some sadness that if my body was different, I'd be hopping on different horses.
Like, my niece came over last weekend, and she wanted to sit on my lap, and I have a very short lap. Like, my legs are short and my belly is big, and so I don't really have a lap. And that used to grieve me so much of like, oh my gosh, I can't even fit my niece or nephew to sit on my lap. And the difference is then it was, and this is bad. This is embarrassing. This is shameful. You should change this. Versus now it's, this is me. This is my body. We're going to find the accommodation. It still sucks, but there's not that secondary meaning attached to it.
I totally resonate with that, because with the horses, my meaning would have been, I'm bad. You're doing a bad job. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong with you. Instead of just like, this is a stinky situation and I'm going to have to learn how to navigate it. And what parts can I enjoy? You know, that's where my brain goes now, instead of just this horrible blame and hatred and trying to always be there. You know, one of the ways that I like to describe some of this is a wall. Mm-hmm. Where we are, and then there's this thick wall. And on the other side, if we stretch our hands through this wall, then we could feel our best beautiful life. Mm-hmm. I used to think the wall was, if I can diet enough, then I'm going to get to my best beautiful life. Then I'm going to be over there. But the thing is I went into that wall all the time, so to speak, that felt foggy and messy and dark, right? That wall that was there. But I never felt that other side. Mm-hmm. I kind of
experienced some success, but it was never like, oh, I felt great. Like, it never was there. But now I see that wall as the grief. The wall is the grief. And I've got to go through that to reach my hand to the other side. But now I've been through that enough. And I'm like, the other side is great. So even when I find myself in the wall of grief sometimes, I'm like, actually, I know that there's actual beautifulness on the other side. And I can honor wherever I'm at, whether I'm in that beautiful space in that moment or in the grief of the wall.
I know I would have been like, but does it make it worth it? And for those of you who've been listening and following along for a long time, you know that I've experienced a deep personal grief in my life. There is nothing that would make me be like, yeah, that grief like was worth it. Awesome. That grief sucks. Like the way I describe it is like, it's like charred flesh that I can still smell burning. Like that is how deep that grief is. However, I didn't stay stuck in the sadness. I am still sad. But that because of learning about grief and bereavement, it has opened up an entire business to me that we talk about grief. I'm teaching other people how to grieve and how to grieve well in a way that honors the suck, that doesn't gaslight you out of being upset, but also doesn't try to rush you to the reframe, doesn't try to rush you into the healing. And to me, that is beautiful. It doesn't mean that the struggle was worth it in the sense of like, if I had a choice and I could choose my body, I would choose a small body, but not anymore because I think it would make me more worthy as a person, not because I think it would make me more lovable or accepted. It would literally be for sheer convenience. My life would just be significantly easier if I existed in a smaller body. We cannot get around that. That is a true statement. That is the anti-fatness. The acceptance piece here is if the reality is that it is harder to exist in a larger body, we have two choices. We can continue to actively try to make our body smaller, or we can choose to accept the body that we have. Those are your only two options. And when I continually chose to try to make my body smaller, it never brought me closer to peace.
I think that realization, that's what you're trying to get to on the other side of this wall, is some kind of peace. But it doesn't actually get there. You never actually get to that place. And even, you know, even when I got myself and manipulated my body into a smaller size, I never felt that peace, because then it was like, oh my gosh, I've got to maintain this here. There was still this stress and anxiety.
The goalpost was still going to move of like, okay, but I can't regain weight now. Or, you know, when you're hyper fixated on your body, then it's like, wow, I didn't notice this flaw and this one. And I don't do that anymore. And because there's more space in my brain, there's more space for other things, for that big, beautiful, unapologetic living. And so, you know, when you think about what you've gained, what would you say has been and the best gain for you in giving up diet culture?
Well, I know this is going to sound kind of funny, but since I've given up diet culture and I've unattached from a lot of those stories about what this means, no longer self-punishing. It is a beautiful gain. Like, it kind of sucks and sometimes, but it kind of like sucks okay. And it sucks without it being my fault or without me doing something wrong.
It sucks okay. I really like that. Like, it doesn't mean it doesn't suck. It just doesn't suck as deeply as it once did. Do you have an example in your mind of what that looks like?
I was looking up some different kind of weight requirements for something, an activity that I was going to do.
Was it when we went in Costa Rica?
Yes. As we looked at these weight requirements, like sometimes I had to be like, oh, yeah, we're not going to be able to do that. Or I'm not going to be able to do that. You know,
so we were looking at zip lining, and I don't have any desire to zip line. So I was like, okay, I don't make the weight requirement. I don't care.
I really wanted to be able to zip line because the things that I would feel from that look exciting to me. But because my body is not smaller, I don't meet that requirement. But because I didn't jump right into that narrative of like, oh my gosh, I must be doing something wrong, that I'm over this limit, that I can't go zip lining, I can just kind of say, yeah, I'm sad that I'm not going to get those feelings today that I feel like zip lining would give me and that adventure. But then also, like, because I don't get stuck in that in the same way, like before I would have actually really been stuck in the blame. But if I can look at it this other way and say, yeah, this sucks, I can really honor that this sucks, that this isn't made for my body.
Yeah.
I then can move through it and actually get to a place where I can say, this sucks, okay, and how am I going to experience adventure in the body I have now? How can I still have some of those things?
It's not silver lining the grief. This is messy. So I wanted to wrap us up with how I was able to detach from that number on the scale. Because I think that that is a thing that comes up for a lot of people. I think number one, was I had to give myself unconditional permission to not know the number. That anytime it was like, I could look at my weight, I'm like, I'm not going to do it because it's going to cause me distress. I'm so connected to my body now that when I feel distress in my body, I no longer am like, oh no, I'm having bad body image. I'm like, oh, my body's trying to communicate to me in the only way it knows how. And thinking about figuring out my weight was distressful to me. I didn't need to know it. I was like, if I have a procedure, then they'll need to know my weight. And that's exactly what happened. But even though I wasn't acknowledging the number, I still gave myself opportunities to explore those negative, critical self-thoughts about gaining weight or existing at that number. And I got to determine for me, is this thought even aligned with my values? And then third and most unsexy is time. It's been 5 years and I no longer feel that way. And what I'll tell you right now is this is the hurdle that I had 5 years ago. My current hurdle is the idea of mobility in the airport. You know, we did another episode where I talked about my experience at the Miami airport coming home from Costa Rica and not wanting to give myself permission to get a wheelchair. I still don't know if I would be able to do that. I still think that my own pride would get in the way of me being like, hey, this is the kindest accommodation for myself. But I need to give myself that unconditional permission of like, you know what? If you want to be uncomfy and this is what you want to do, we're going to honor that. But there is a story playing out here. And does this story align with your values? And if it doesn't, unravel what stories are playing out here.
Our stories on that are kind of very similar. Like my big untouching from the number was saying, I'm not going to have a scale in my house.
Yeah.
And like removing that out of the house and just it kind of took the pressure off of like, I don't even have to do this anymore. Like something that I'd done so regularly. And it's just, it seems at this point where I'm standing so insane that I would be like, how's my day going to go? Am I 1 pound up or 1 pound down? Like it just, it's so stressful.
And it would manipulate how good or bad your day was.
Absolutely. So to just be like, I'm taking that scale out of my house completely. Right. Yeah. Was a really interesting thing. And then for me, there was a moment when I was like, okay, I'm going to the doctor and I'm going to tell them, no, I'm not going to get on the scale.
Yeah.
That never occurred to me that I was allowed to do that before. Well, the authority said I need to get on the scale. I remember that first time where I was decided, I think I had a cold, you know, it wasn't even related to anything with how much is my weight, you know, like we've talked about, like there's certain medical procedures. If they're going to give me anesthesia, they maybe need to know how much to give me. Okay, that's fine. But this was, I could tell, very clearly unrelated. And I'll never forget that first time. Like, I'm going to tell them no, you know, and like how empowering that felt when I was just like, no, I'm not going to do that today. And this person thankfully did not argue with me. But I remember thinking after that, wait, I can't believe I don't have to do that.
Empowering and terrifying at the same time. And what you did is you created this new memory pairing that like, hey, I said no, my no was honored. We're going to do that again. Now we have evidence that we're not just jumping into this abyss. There's actually a step there. We just weren't able to see it. When we choose a different path, it doesn't mean that we're giving up. It means we are giving up perceived control and we are open to the universe to take away, but also to give us. And that is the hardest part about grief, is that there is loss.
But I think that this skill of learning how to grieve, it's not an easy one thing, but it is very beautiful and fruitful. And I think we have spent so much time in life trying to avoid feeling that. And that's why you and I are doing this work that we're doing. We're here to help support you because that grief is just, it's inevitable.
Yes, it's not avoidable. It is the both and that we will grieve, but with permission to grieve comes the opportunity for joy, pleasure, and all the good things that come with it. And that doesn't mean you have to love your body. It might never mean you feel comfortable looking at your weight, but you'll no longer be punishing yourself along the way. And that offers a freedom like nothing else can.
Hi, friend. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Body Grievers Club. Like all of your other podcasting friends, we would ask that you like, share, subscribe, and give this episode to someone who you think needs to hear it.
We know that grief is tough, but we hope that this podcast helps you feel less alone. To learn more about body grief, check out our Instagram page at the Body Grievers Club.
And to learn how you can work with us today, be sure to check out the link in our show notes for the most up-to-date information.
And remember, friends, no matter how big your body grief is, you're never alone when you're part of the Body Grievers Club.